Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gerga here, along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music, live from Beach Brook Studios. Unless you're listening to the on-demand broadcast later, it's not live. But we're joined today by the Amanda White Band, or part of them anyway, Peter Dubney on bass, guitar, and on bass and lead vocals, Amanda White.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So why don't you start us off with a tune?
All right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
And that's from your new CD, everybody out there with little kids, do the earmuffs. Kittens give zero fucks. And you're a wife. So you want to tell us a little bit about the song? And then, you know, as we move along, we'll talk about the particular album and the project itself.
Yeah, so the song is something I just wrote fiddling around on the bass. You know, it's just a two-note pattern, basically. And I was just playing around with that and singing along. And then the chorus, I stole the chords from the chorus. You will never guess what song that's from. It's the 4-1-5-4, 4-1-5-4 sequence.
All right, well, I won't tell anybody so you don't get sued.
No,
if I figure
I'll
it out.
Get sued for a chord sequence, yeah. But no, that's actually same chord sequence from the chorus of 25 or 6 to 4.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, start just like really heavy on the 4 chord there.
Yeah.
So that's about that song.
All right.
Yeah, lots of seventh chords.
I think that made it fun.
I think the thing is, like, I think I've played seventh chords more in this band than I have in my entire existence of playing guitar before that.
Yeah, it gives it a nice touch, I think. So
I have no idea. No, is my mic on? I have no idea what the hell you guys are talking about. So that's fine. That's cool. Seven and
the seventh chord is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like the music.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick serves the function of sort of like from the point of view of a fan or a listener.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good.
And I'm more
totally
of a
ignorant
technical
fan.
Yeah.
In terms of music production and so on. What attracted it? Tell me about yourself, though. Give me a little background. Amanda, your background.
Yeah, I'm actually an opera singer. So, and then I became a rock singer, and actually I still sing opera, so I just kind of switch back and forth between the two.
Okay, that's what attracted me when I first saw that. Sarah Brightman. Nightwish, Blackmore's Night, bands like that, and the to me the fusion, the blend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm new to this, and I symphonic rock sounds like an oxymoron, but you know,
that makes sense.
I go back to Beethoven, Fifth Symphony. Mm-hmm. That was the Led Zeppelin of that day,
yeah.
And to bring that forward is amazing. So when you guys are doing this, you've got the training. It must be. The creativity must be just off the charts. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, I have a lot of freedom. And I don't have to sing this way. I realize I could be singing in a totally different style if that's the way that I kind of trained myself to sing, because I have the kind of freedom and flexibility because of the technical foundation. But this is kind of the style of music that I wanted to make, so this is the style of singing that I ended up bringing to it.
So how did you get into it in the first place? How did you guys get into music? A little background there.
Well, I have a music degree from the Boston Conservatory in opera, and so I was singing, you know, since I was 14, singing in choirs, taking voice lessons, and then I didn't do any rock until I started getting involved at the end of my 4 years at the Boston Conservatory. I sang with the Boston Rock Opera. I did one of their productions of Jesus Christ Superstar, and that was kind of my first exposure. And I had just turned 21, so it was the first time I was also old enough to go to bars anyway. But that was sort of my first exposure to, you know, being around rock musicians, having friends who were in bands, going to see their shows. And I had played acoustic guitar since I was, you know, 16 or something, so I was kind of like, oh, I can do this too. Started from that.
Peter, how'd you get into it?
Well, I've played music pretty much all my life, but I was like, back in the early 90s, I played in this sort of a punk band called Meat Helicopter, or sort of a metal infusion punk band, but this was back in the early 90s, and I'd done some, sort of out of it in a while, and basically Amanda worked for the company I worked for, and it's like, and I sort of met her, and after a while, she was starting her rock band back together with some people from New York, and they did the shows, and then the guitarist left to concentrate on the lute. Then she got her old guitar, and then the idea was to have two guitars. So I've never done a two guitar band before, and this is sort of me playing like rhythm behind everything, which is completely different than playing like the one guitarist in a punk band. And it's actually harder than you think, because you're trying to come up with just the right thing to make the song perfect.
Yeah, the teamwork. You have to get to know each other, I imagine, after a while. And does that help? You know, once you've worked together for a while.
We don't work together that much. That's the funny thing.
Okay.
Like, because half the band lives in New York. So it's kind of, we go for a weekend and do some rehearsals and maybe a show, but it's not like every weekend, it's, you know.
So then, let me rephrase that, it's the professionalism experience when you're able to work with each other.
We are all really different in that respect, like we all kind of have a different approach, and I think that's one of the things that's so interesting about it, you know. There's, like, I'm the more classically trained person, and you know, so I'm kind of like, I can write out sheet music and write out chords, and I can describe everything with the right terminology, and that kind of helps me learn. And then, you know, Joe's a real workhorse. He practices really hard. And Ross, our other guitar player, is a more like, you know, kind of on the spot, just dynamic, you know, follow along with the crowd, play off of everything else that's going around you. So we all kind of have different learning styles, and I think that just means that we all just kind of bring something different to rehearsal and can learn a lot from each other.
One thing it requires we have to be focused at rehearsal.
We have very exhausting rehearsals.
So it's like we have like an afternoon where we're in an afternoon in a place in Brooklyn, yeah. And basically every minute counts, and we're doing this for about 4 hours or so, and so we got to go through this stuff, and like we got to practice it beforehand, and like one of the things I like to do, and when we have the rehearsals, we like Min and I and Russell will meet up in Ross's apartment. We'll go through some of the things, and then like I get a hotel room. My favorite place is this place outside in Armonk, which is just like a boring hotel, but it's just where I can actually like plug stuff in and just learn stuff that I learned the day of.
Yeah. Wow.
But it does require that you sort of like do your homework and make the most of your time.
So here's the and then you have to make it look spontaneous when you're out there, right? The thing is, you guys have you have personas. You have your personal life, you've got your professional life, you've got your lives when you're creating music, you get your lives when you're home with other people. And this kind of music, I mean, I'm thinking of Iron Maiden, okay? You look at those guys, and they're scary as hell. And when I walked in here, you guys scared the hell out of me, all right? All right? But
so intimidating.
But you're quite normal, you're quite mellow, and so that power, the rock persona or the performance, the operatic or the guitar playing, I mean, you go to a different place, don't you? It's sort of like, I don't know, being on vacation in a way. You go to a different place, and it's amazing. Where does that come from, the feel, the creativity, and the on-stage persona? Because you're different when you're playing than you are when you're talking right now.
I'm not conscious of it. It's totally unconscious level for me. I don't realize I'm doing it. I just love music.
That comes as a surprise to me. I mean, it's like
you didn't know you were so intimidating, Peter.
Well, my day job, I'm a computer programmer, and I work in a team there as well. And there's the same kind of dynamics that I deal with. And well, you got some people who do this, and some people are, so there's not that much difference. And in fact, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people who do computer programming and music, and there's a lot more people than you think.
I see you guys, I think of Iron Maiden, and the lead singer there, he's an airline pilot, and it's just crazy. He gets on stage, and he's the devil, and it's awesome. And you just have this, it's power. I guess it's just power, the power to communicate, maybe. I'm rambling, but I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, I have a question for Amanda. So did you draw the short straw to be the bassist?
Yeah. That's what happened. So I didn't play bass at all until I think I picked it up around when I was leaving New York, so maybe 7 years ago. And I just kind of picked it up for fun because I thought it would be sexy. And I thought, well, I'm a coloratura soprano. I sing really, really high soprano, so it would be fun if I covered like the high and the low. Mm-hmm. And then about maybe a year later, my bass player flaked. He just didn't show up to gigs. Just completely, cut us off. And so I'm like, it was such an awkward situation because I had already moved away. And at that time I was like, who's going to join a band that only kind of exists? And so now we're more serious because we worked on this project and everything. But at the time it was like, well, I've got these two guys, I have two guys and then me, and I'm in a different state, and I don't know where I'm going to get a bass player who wants in on this. So I guess I have to actually learn bass for real now. And I did, and I'm still not very good at it, honestly. It's been 7 years, and I can still, I'm like, if I can just play the root note and maybe a couple other things, but don't try to get me to do like a walking bass line or anything.
Yeah. I've said in the show a million times the bass is the best part of the band, of any band. But
Amanda, the singer, disagrees with you.
Okay, well.
Greg, the bass player, disagrees with you.
I would just respectfully disagree with you.
Amanda, the bass player, is all for that. Split right. Personality up here.
Why don't we hit it up another live song?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this song is called Where the Hell is Amy? One, two, three, four. Well, it's just one night that I got to be me. Well, it's just one night that I got to be free. And then I was losing out of this sweet life. And I knew so about Christmas tree. And I had four best friends in the back of the car. said that's fine, but you can't leave the house. Where the hell is Amy? It's getting busy.
Ending. So where the hell is Amy? Have you found her yet?
Nope.
So let me do a quick station ID. This is Greg Berg along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music at MSONewsports.com.
I want to take a little break if we can. I want to pause this because I'm getting a little distortion, and I think we should work that out because these guys are too good to have that in us. So we'll take a break. We're going to let people know who are listening to MSO News Sports. You won't hear this on the recording.
Right.
We'll take
so
off the break.
Everybody stay tuned.
We're going to break for a few minutes, and I'm going to have to take it off the air so that we can do this because I want to make sure that we get it right. Okay? So we'll take a break, guys.
All right.
All right. So hold on. And we're back. Okay.
All right. We're back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you for sticking around for that little technical... repair we made. This is Greg Berger along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music at live from Beechbrook Studios on MSO New Sports Radio.
Beach what?
Beechbrook.
Did I do it right on
yeah,
the website?
Yeah, it's right. It wasn't Beechwood like a few shows ago. MSONewsports.com. Today our guests are half of the Amanda White Band, which is Amanda White on bass and lead vocals, and Peter Devney on lead guitar.
Okay, and before we go to the MP3s, I've read that a lot of musicians don't like to have people ask them about their lyrics and have them interpreted, but tell me about that song. Where the hell is Amy?
About lyrics, like, my lyrics are not, they're not autobiographical, so it's not usually about something real in my life, but that one did specifically come from a time when I was at Bar Trivia with my friends Nathan and Akiko, and we were waiting for our friend Amy. And my friend Nathan slammed his hand down on the table, and he said, "Where the hell is Amy?" And I was like, "That sounds like a good song." Where? And I just started singing it. The song's not about her at all. It has nothing to do with the situation, but I just took that line away as a chorus, as a good chorus.
So I was actually in a committee recently that had someone named Amy who blew off lots of meetings.
Did you get to sing that song?
Yeah, well, I played it to everyone else.
Right? Okay, that works, huh?
That's awesome.
A double dose. It's nice to have that hammer ready, you know, especially at meetings. And are you going to ask about the creative process?
I'm going to ask about, well, you can do it.
No, you because Greg's the.
I like to ask when people come in what their, what's the writing process? I mean, is it pretty much you, and then you take the band and it sort of morphs, or what's the?
Yeah. I'm the primary. I'm the songwriter, so I don't usually bring something to the band until I have like the melody, the bass part, the lyrics, the chords. You know, I'll usually give them charts before we start. Yeah.
Well, a handbook and everything, and
yeah.
Written
you
exam.
Really
it's not that formal.
So sometimes I write out like little bits of sheet music.
Just
and
map
stuff.
It out. Yeah, that makes sense.
So what is the creative process when you bring it to the band? I mean, who contributes what, and how does that work?
We just kind of actually, what I'll do a lot of the time is I'll give them sort of an inspiration song. I'll be like, oh, this is kind of the feel I'm going for, or I kind of like the drums from this song or something like that, kind of as a kicking off point. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, nothing really happens until we all get into a room and we try it. And, you know, we just kind of give each other feedback about what, you know, is that what we were going for, or is that totally way off of what we were going for?
All right. Well, we're going to listen to one of your recordings to see
Great.
If that's what you were going for.
Okay.
Which one do you want to cue up there, Rick?
The one I'm interested in is Wackadoodle World.
Okay.
Yeah. The name, all right?
Yeah, all
right,
do
it. We'll do Wackadoodle
World. Yeah, let's give it a listen, then we'll talk about it after.
All right. Thank you.
right, that's Wackadoodle World by the Amanda White Band, and we are joined here on Unfinished Music with by Amanda White and Peter Devney of the Amanda White Band. So there must be a story behind that song, or did it just come to you in a dream or something?
It kind of did, actually. So it was originally, I was singing to my cat, Veruca.
Wait, say that again?
Veruca Salt?
You were singing?
I was singing to my cat,
to your
like
cat.
You do.
Sure.
Anybody who has a cat sings to the cat.
No, I have two cats.
Do you sing to them?
No.
No,
they're
not
fans.
They
won't let me
sing
to them.
Anybody but Rick would sing to
that. Right.
Anybody who's a singer and also has a cat is singing to the cat. You do. You're just walking around. I mean, I sing about everything. I sing about washing the dishes and doing the laundry.
You're a singer. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just going through this phase where I was calling her baby girl, I Earl, and calling my boy cat baby boy, I. Like, you know, there was a B-I-E-I, he said, on a walleye, all. And that sort of stuff. And so one day I was just running out of my house and, you know, late for work, and it just kind of came out of my mouth, that chorus, that hook. You're my baby girl, I Earl, all at once. And I knew right there, I was like, that is a hook. I have to not forget that. But nobody wants to hear me sing about my cat, so I just changed it to be about people.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. It's a lot more interest that way.
Let me ask you now. I have to ask you, how long have you guys been together, the four of you?
The four of us? A year and a half? But I've been together with Ross for like 10 years,
okay.
And off.
Okay,
and then,
so what I need, okay, is I need a story. I need a story of something either... You guys do live stuff on stage.
Yeah.
Okay. Something that just comes to mind as really as something that surprised you, something that was particularly good, something that was either a great song, great performance, or a silly audience, or something. Because we've had some stories of people going on the road, and they're pretty tragic. I think it's a tough life on the road. So is there anything that jumps to mind that is story worthy?
Well, one thing that did is like this almost got aborted before it started, at least as far as I was concerned. And it's like, Amanda called me, and so we sort of started just rehearsing some of the songs, and then all of a sudden it's like the night call of it's like, when do you want to meet up again? And it's like, well, I can't. I might get a job offer in Seattle with Disney.
That's right. I almost moved to
and it's
Seattle.
Like, what? Ah, okay, new offer with Sapa. Okay, that came up, and then that did she decide? No, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do an opera. It's like, okay, all right. Well, I'll find out, and then later she called back because she got Ross involved, and that's where it happened. But
yeah.
Well, there are two stories there, right there. I mean, either an opera or Disney. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
well, I had a job offer from a Disney office in Seattle, and I agonized over whether or not to take it, and I ultimately decided to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was one of those life, like, you know, questioning your life things where you're like, well, huge fork in the road, what do I do? So if I did move to Seattle, that would have made it harder to keep the band together, because Boston to New York, it's like a five-hour bus ride or drive to Seattle. That would have been another question.
What helped you make that decision?
I really loved what I was doing here. I really loved where I live here in Salem. And I was very interested in the job at Disney, but they wanted to start me off on an 18-month contract before going perm. Mm. And I was like, I would take it if it were a regular job, or if it was an 18-month contract where I didn't have to move across the country, I might take it, but I don't want to move across the country for a contract, however convinced I am that I know it's going to go perm, but like I want my benefits. Like, you know, you get like discounted cruise passes if you work for Disney.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I want that on day one. Don't make me wait a year and a half for that.
Yeah, they can afford it. Hello. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And so going back to studying and Peter, how about you with music and studying music? Because you started at an early age?
I was a teenager. Oh, I mean, I had piano lessons as a kid, like a lot of people do.
And but
I did as well. I took piano lessons when I was like 7.
Okay, mm-hmm. And did you stay with it?
Piano, no, but I've actually tried to like keep up on piano and try to learn it. One time I was in college, I was trying to learn Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, mm-hmm. one of the intros to that, and then it's like my roommate came.
I was going
like,
to say why, but that's okay.
Well, just because I figured I could do it, because it was like supposedly it's he taught it to his students, so I was like, okay, I'll try it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the then like one of the my roommate's girlfriends come, oh, my sister does this on piano. And it's like, okay, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I thought of like some 12-year-old girl doing this. And so I was like, because it's just, that's the kind of, so I was trying to figure it out, and I kind of got it down almost, and then like one of my other words, like, oh yeah, her sister's a concert pianist, and she's part of some Philadelphia orchestra or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay.
Feel better now, yeah. Oh my goodness. I had a question, lost it.
Okay, well, you're thinking of it. Why don't you give a plug to where people can find some of your music?
Sure. The easiest thing to probably do is my website that I've had for many, many years is notjustanotherprettyvoice.com. So notjustanotherprettyvoice.com. And that, right now, it's just redirecting to our Bandcamp page, mm-hmm. which is where the best place to buy the digital copy of the album. They give us, you know, we get a good cut from Bandcamp, better than iTunes or some of the other places. But it is available on iTunes. Hard copies are available on CD Baby. And we're on all the usual places. We've got a Twitter, we've got a Facebook, so look us up.
All right, and that's the new album is Kittens Give Zero Fucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Can we ask about the title? It's.
Yeah, I was going to ask what their influences are, but I'm afraid to.
Yeah, was it while you were singing to your cats that was the response? Or?
No, I.
Yeah, it was true.
Yeah, no, it's I don't. The main thing behind the title is that I just thought it was funny, and
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of my life decisions are based on what I think is funny. But it's very true. Kittens give zero fucks. They will walk up to a big dog, and they'll just be like, I'm going to get you. They don't give
yeah,
a fuck.
Yeah, of course.
But the other cool thing is that I think that our balance of music is we kind of balance the like aggressive, heavy stuff with also kind of really fun, light stuff and a sense of humor on top of it. So that kind of sums up all those angles in one phrase.
That's different from people we've had in here, because a lot of the artists we've had in here are very autobiographical. They write about their experiences and they write about themselves, and you're in a different place.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody needs to hear about me and my computer job and...
Well, that would be it.
Although there is actually a lot of angst that can be involved
there you
with
go.
That.
Like, people
like project managers yelling at you for not doing what it is that they want you to do.
I do the yelling.
Wow.
So are you the final say?
No, unfortunately. No, they don't actually listen to me, but oh. I yell anyway.
Wow. But you give zero. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, really.
So why don't you hit us up with another live tune? Yeah. What would you like to play for us?
How'd you like to hear a power ballad?
Well, a power ballad. Excellent.
Ready?
Yep. Someone tells you not to cry. Face the world without a sigh. A sorrow. But the strength that conquers fear won't dissolve within your tears. They both know. Let it come and let it go. Your own, no one ever is alone. I told you. conceived in memory lies. Nothing ends and no one dies before you. Let it in and let them know you feel their love on earth below. Oh, and when you look up, you'll know. And when you lose and let go, and when you give what love is, save and be saved.
Right, really nice. Again.
Don't worry, I wasn't going to let you step on my money note.
That was the...
The Sopranos got it.
The power was there, and I guess I didn't wait for all of the power to show itself. But excellent, excellent.
I need a really big breath before I go into that. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening there.
Pause.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, that's way cool. And you have to get the voice training. How does that work? Because... you can sing and you can scream. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can sing, but you can also scream rock. So
yeah.
How does that work in terms of voice training and taking care of yourself? Because you don't obviously want to get a sore throat and you don't want to lose it by the time you're 35 mm-hmm. years old.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. No worry about that. I use two different vocal techniques in that song. The whole main body of the song was belted, and then at the coda there I sang a legit voice, more of a head voice, so we call that legit, kind of more of a classical musical theater sound, and I have never had a problem bouncing between the two, but I do have to get used to things. So like, this song is not the most strenuous, but like Wackadoodle World that we listened to earlier, that that was very strenuous, and it took me like a long time practicing that before I kind of found my way around it. So it used to be like I could only sing that song like once, and then I'd be like, I'm out. But and I've had my chords checked out, because you know, all music school and being an opera singer, and people would be like, oh, you're going to blow your voice out singing all that rock and da da da. I've had my chords scoped, and there's nothing on them. They're fine. There's no nodes. So I don't know.
Well, there you go.
She
doesn't do Cookie Monster vocals. So.
I don't do Cookie Monster vocals, but it's the same. I use the same technique and the same technical same technical problems I have singing opera, the same technical problems I have singing rock, and the same technical good things on one, the same technical good things on the other.
All right. So, how do you bring the opera into rock? Because as I was mentioning, Nightwish, I listened to them and some other and other groups like that, and obviously it's rock, but it's. Opera trained, mm-hmm. and the different octaves and so on.
Yeah.
But it works as rock. So how do you fuse that? How do you bring that into that?
So
it's different train. It's a whole different genre.
It's a whole different genre, and I really don't do what Nightwish does. I don't do what Tarja did or anything. Like, I don't have I'm not usually singing operatically when I'm doing this. So the only ways it really comes in are that I have that range. Actually, so even belting, you might be able to tell from some of our songs. I have a very high range belting in addition to a very high range operatically. My voice teacher told me that whatever your highest note you can sing, like operatically, you can belt about one octave below that. So I think it's helpful that I have such high, so much training to be able to sing very high. I sing Queen of the Night, you know, other things that go up really high. And I think that's part of why I can belt so high. It's very related. But I don't, other than throwing in high notes here and there, I don't directly sing operatically when I do the rock.
Well, that's what I kind of like about it, because certain rock bands who make a lot of money on the radio, and I don't understand it, their lead singers don't have much of a range at all.
Yeah.
And it just baffles me that, you know, when you get people who are good musicians and great singers, don't play more rock or get into it more. So, and the creative process, do you have a little notebook by your nightstand and so on?
I do, and I can notate music, although, you know, you don't get to really decide when the inspiration strikes. And you know, I've tried different apps and stuff and for, you know, music notation, and I don't like any of them. And if you just have regular notebook paper, it's, like, really sloppy to try to draw those five lines out. So what I do, I usually do more of a voice memo thing. And then if I want to notate it, I do it later.
Yeah, you got a phone? How do you do that?
I just do it on my iPhone. I just use a voice memo app. Yeah.
Supposedly, Can't Get No Satisfaction was done by Keith Richards, just, like, doing the...
Doing
that for about a minute and snoring for the rest of the tape.
I did see an interview on video with him, and he actually, I think it was Mick Jagger who said that. He said, you know, he woke up, he passed out, woke up, and the old reel-to-reel machine, the take-up reel is just going around, flapping around, and Richard said, I wonder what's on there.
Great.
So, yeah, no, I know you, but inspiration can come from anywhere at any time, so you got that phone there, and you can just throw it on there.
Yeah.
That is way cool.
All right. Well, speaking of inspiration, we have, I think, two more recordings.
We got lots. Yep. We got lots.
Okay, great. So we like to go out on a record. We've got time, but I'm just saying, what song would you like to hold to the end for our credits to roll?
Well, okay, so here, do you only have the five that I sent you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, I didn't send you Fuck All Rockstar, because I didn't know we were allowed to say fuck in here, so I would have sent that one.
We try to limit it.
This is a G-rated website. Okay, Amanda?
Sure.
Just saying.
Sure. Do you want to do Dark Art at the end?
That's my favorite song.
That's
on
your favorite, so you want to save it for the end. Okay.
So we have a couple others. Which one would you like to hit now for the recordings?
We got Rooter, Bade, and Last to Bite.
Let's do Last to Bite, I think. That'll be a nice change from what we've been doing so far.
All right. Last to Bite. Thank you. surprise ending there. but and I didn't interrupt halfway through the song. But anyway, oh, I'm sorry, Peter. I turned off your guitar.
Okay, just,
but
I was just.
There you go. You're back.
The emotion in that song, Amanda.
Yeah.
The emotion. Tell me about that.
The emotion.
That's it's very emotive. Love to Bite. I mean, you were. It's a different feel, a totally different feel from what anything I've heard so far.
Thanks. That's why I thought that would be a good time to throw that in there. Yeah. I don't know what to say about the emotion. We're just kind of going for, like, kind of badass, I guess. That's the emotion.
So then that brings up a question. When you play, I always wonder how bands put playlists together.
Mm.
Because I'm sure that you have your favorites and you have maybe... Is there a song sometimes, I don't want to ask what it is, but is there a song sometimes that's not a favorite to play, but you still get through it? Peter, is that ever the case? Is there some song that you'd just rather not play?
My least favorite song to play is probably Ruder, probably because it's...
It's repetitive.
It's repetitive and sort of based on dynamic. It's my least favorite to play.
Mm-hmm. And
then my favorite song that we do is Dark Art, although that's like...
That's also very repetitive.
It's also very repetitive.
But Primal is good sometimes, you know?
I don't know why, I'm just saying that's one I picked that I dislike playing because it is... Well, it's supposed to be... You're based on dynamics and then you try to like... But you're going to go like... Well, you kind of just play you're just hanging on the D for the E B for a while, and then it's like, I can't describe it. I can just say it.
So the short answer is there are songs that you'd rather not play.
No, it's not rather. It's not rather not play. It's like some. If there's a song that I really hate, mm-hmm. which fortunately there haven't been any yet, mm-hmm. then I would say so.
Okay. And how do you put? I mean, you've got a lot of songs. You've got a lot of songs already. I'm not using that word loosely. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. I know that you put a lifetime into this, more or less. So you have a lot of songs. And when you play live, whether it's for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, how do you? I don't even know how to ask the question. But there must be favorites that you really want to get up there on stage.
Yeah, and this is our second album, so now that we have the two, it's you got to try to find the balance between playing the old favorites but trying to promote the new stuff.
Right.
And so lately we just came out with this, so our focus right now is on playing tracks from this album.
Right.
But we can't not play our biggest hit song, which I guess I'm allowed to say it, which is Monica's Getting Her Tits Done. That was our biggest fan favorite off the first album, and that's that song that people expect you to play when you
right,
go out. So
exactly.
Whatever else happens, that's got to fit into the playlist somewhere.
Yeah, and do you try to play when you play live? Do you try to make it sound exactly like it is on recording, or do you improvise or what? How does that work?
It's never going to sound exact. I mean, the recording. It was a very professional recording. It's not like a studio recording, so we couldn't physically... I'm singing backup vocals with myself there.
Right.
I mean, we couldn't physically do that. So I do... I do... I would say I try to match that, but you just know there's going to be... Things are going to be faster, and we're going to make mistakes that we can't cover up in post-production later.
Yeah, but that's the fun of going to live. And I've said this to every artist who's come in and has mentioned, oh, I screwed that. We the great unwashed, we don't know. We never know when you make a mistake unless you screw up a lyric that people are really familiar with. We don't know, and so you kind of just get past it quickly, don't you? I mean, that's
move on.
Yeah.
Joke about it later.
Yeah, sometimes playing in this format with just me and Amanda, I have to play it slightly different. Mm-hmm. For one, I got to be sure. For Amy, I got to make sure that the A major really rings out.
Yeah, because Ross normally
normally Ross does that. So it's like, so if I don't get the major right, it's not a big deal.
And that
so it's like those are more the subtle things of live, and then you got to have something reasonable when you have like four people doing it live.
That explains a lot when I look at YouTube and see these bands that I'm see them live.
Well, and speaking of live, we're going to play another song. This time Amanda has moved over to the piano, So, again, this is Greg Berg with Rick Moore at Unfinished Music. And the guest today is the Amanda White Band, featuring Amanda White on piano and vocals and Peter Devney on guitar.
And the song is called Adora. So, just making sure that... All right.
Adora. We're probably going to adore it. Okay.
All right.
Glasses here, they've shattered by now.
Thanks.
Excellent, excellent job.
So when are you live in this area?
I'm going to try to do another show in this area. I'm hoping later in the year in the fall or something. We're going to be concentrating on New York probably over the next few months.
I can't go down there, so I'm... Oh, you know, I got to go to Philadelphia, so maybe we'll stop by. Well, you will let us know.
Yeah.
Because I have to see the whole band and, and see you guys live. I mean, wow, blown away. I'm blown away. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, we really appreciate you both coming in today. It was
I'm sorry for the mix-up on we figured it. We straightened it out.
Yeah, that's live radio. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, just to, again, this is Greg Berger along with Rick Moore. This has been Unfinished Music live from Beach Brick Studios on MSONewsSports.com. And our guests today have been part of the Amanda White Band, Amanda and Peter Devney. And thank you so much again. I can't say that enough. Really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we're going to go out on a song, but I'm going to give a quick, some housekeeping here. On May 30th, John Jerome is in studio. He's got a new CD coming out, and we're going to hear some songs from that. Then on June 13th, we have Alexandra and Josh. They've also got some new music. We are looking for guests for our summer shows, so if you have some suggestions or if you'd like to do it, give me a call, 508-284-3399, or reach me through the Unfinished Music Facebook page. So, thanks, folks. We'll see you next time. And we're playing Dark Art is what we're going to go out on. So be sure to check out the Amanda White Band on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm.